Kof Elul, Friday the 23rd of September, Rabbi Dov Ber Cowan, from Rogez to Rachamim. All will be revealed.
Rogez, Beish Gimel Zayin.
Always a pleasure to come back and speak on Torah Way. So here we are standing before Yimei Slichas, coming up very soon. Ashkenazim amongst us is fun, we've already been going for a very long time. So there's a story I heard from, secondhand to a friend of mine, Yerushalayim, from my Rebbe Yerushalayim, the Tona Rebbe. Tona Rebbe gave him a Maaseh from the Chiddush HaRim, there's a Sefer of the Chiddush HaRim called Sefer HaSchus. And the Sefer HaSchus and the Chiddush HaRim on Chodesh Elul, there he brings down a Maaseh from the Arizal. It says that Arizal was once sitting down with his Talmidim, giving a shir. And at that point, one of his own Talmidim, someone called Shmuel di Ozeida, who was the author of the Medrash Shmuel, came into the room, walked into the room, and when the Arizal saw his Talmud come into the room, he stood up for his Talmud. So this obviously somewhat strange, and they wanted to understand and find out why did the Arizal stand up for his Talmud. So after they came up to ask him, he said, why did you stand up for him? So he said, it's very simple, he said, when he came in, I also noticed that Rav Pinchas ben Yair, the Tana Rav Pinchas ben Yair, came in with him. So I stood up for him and for Rav Pinchas ben Yair. And so they said, well, what happened? He said, well, actually, this Talmud, Rav Shmuel ben Ozeida, had actually gone at that point and just done the mitzvah pidyon shvuim. And he just walked in from doing the mitzvah pidyon shvuim. So therefore, since Rav Pinchas ben Yair was also Oisek in the mitzvah pidyon shvuim, in his day, therefore the presence of Rav Pinchas ben Yair also came in with Rav Shmuel Diazeda when he came into them. His presence of Rav Pinchas ben Yair came in also. That's a nice story. It's a beautiful story. But then, what's that going to do with El? What's the connection? So the Imri Emes, the son of the Sfas Emes, asked his father, Sfas Emes, well, Markesha, what's the connection with Chodesh El and this story? It's a very nice story. But why would the Chodesh Rim put it in the story in Chodesh El? He said, the answer is the following. He says that during Elul, we know that Am Yisrael, in the Midbar, they were Oisek in that time in doing tshuva for the Chet HaEgel. And they were all involved for the 40 days, all the way until they received the second Luchos on Yom Kippur. They were involved in tshuva. So he said, the Sas Emes, we see from this also that when Klal Yisrael, when we too involved so much in tshuva during the time of Elul, we somehow, the presence of all of Klal Yisrael at the time of the Midbar are with us at this time. We're kind of enjoined with Klal Yisrael at the time of the Midbar. We are all together doing tshuva. So the question is, at this time we're trying to find a way to get a chasim and a chasima toiva, looking to find anywhere we can to walk into Rosh Hashanah and Metz Hashem and be signed and sealed for the new year, for a Shana which is full of bracha, full of hatzlacha, full of everything we need. And we're looking for some way to do that. And I'd like to share Metz Hashem with you this morning something that I saw in the Kli Yochah. I'm always keen to look in the Kli Yochah in this week's parsha, and it's coming on the psukim that we see at the end of the Vidui Maaseh. Now I moved to England from Eretz Yisrael roughly 4 years ago, and it's still one of the hardest things for me as a kohen is missing out on doing breakfast kind of every single morning. That was being in Eretz Yisrael was. It's still so hard for me to be here and not to do Birkas Kohanim every day. But at the end of Birkas Kohanim, we have the Kohanim say the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have a tefillah that we say, as you know. And in that tefillah we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, Esinu Mashi Gazal Tanei. We've done what you asked. And now we say, Ashkiv Ma'on Kodshecha. Now we ask Hashem to gaze down from upon from Ma'on Kodshecha and to give us the bracha too. And we see this is coming from the Pesukim at the end of the Vidui Maaseh. In this week's Parsha in Kisavoy, where we see that after the song brings everything to the Beis HaMikdash, they say the Vidui Maaseh, and at the end they say, Hashkif Amon Kodshecha, Min HaShomayim, Uvarech HaSamcha, Es Yisrael, Besalama, Hashem Natas Lanu, Hashem Nishbat Alav Vaseinu, Eretz Zavas Cholav Udvash. And even when I used to say this tefillah, when I still say it now, obviously when I do it here in England, but I always occurred to me, what's this Lashon Hashkifa Imam Kodshecha? Why do we use these words, Hashkifa Imam Kodshecha? First of all, the Inyan of Hashkifa, which we'll talk about in a second. And also, Ma'on, what's this idea of the Ma'on Kodshecha? Why are we using this Lashon of Ma'on Kodshecha? And it's always something, the question that really, I used to think about it very often, and I think that in looking into this in preparation for the shiur this morning, the questions became even more sharp in my mind. First of all, we see that Hashkifa, this is a Medrash, is in, here, it's brought in Kisavoy, that we know that normally the word Hashkifa is Lashon Tzar. Hashkifa is normally a word which is given to negative, bad things. But we say, Vashkef Hashem al Machaneh Mitzrayim, or Vashkef al Pnei Sodom. These are words, Vashkef is normally something which is very bad or very negative. So why is it we're asking Hashem at this point in time, Hashkif Malkot Shecha, to give us a bracha? There are many other words that could have been used that would be more suitable, right? Habita would probably be the best and most obvious word. Why are we picking this word of Hashkifa Malkot Shecha out of all the words that we could have used? This is one question we have. The other question which I was interested in trying to develop is this inyan of Ma'on Kodshecha. Why Ma'on? What is Ma'on? What even is it? You know, and we just say Hashkifa Ma'ashamayim. Just, you know, just gaze down from the Shemayim, if anything. Why are we saying Hashkifa Ma'on Kodshecha Min HaShemayim? What is inyan of Ma'on and why is it used here in this place? At the end of the video, Maisa, why are we saying Hashkifa Ma'on Kodshecha Min HaShemayim? So I'd like to share with you, Mitzvah Hashem, some beautiful pearls that I saw in the Devarim of the Kli Yakar, which in my mind really developed this very beautifully, and I think Mitzvah Hashem, we go over, we'll see that it can really maybe moira something within us as we are in these days of Elul, to approach Rosh Hashanah, to wake us up a little bit, to maybe what could be the key to ensuring we get the sign and seal, the Ksim HaChasimah for Chaim Tovim Baruchim. So the Kli Yakar says here on this pasuk, Hashkifa Ma'on Kodshecha, if you want others to have a look inside. So he says here that Lefi Sha'amar L'mala Asisi Kecholot Sheh Tzivisani. So in the previous pasuk of before this, we say Asisi Kecholot Sheh Tzivisani. We're making a vidui that we did everything we had to do. And Rashi says there, Samachti v'Simachti Sachem. I was joyful and I made other people joyful too. I gave to the lady, I gave to the ger, I gave to the almana, I gave to the poor person. I've given to other people, I've made them happier, ensure that they have simcha. And so now Hashem, please return, so to speak, and give me simcha, give me everything I need. Al-Kain, says the Kli Yakar, Hashkif Ma'on. So therefore, give us the simcha from Ma'on. Why Ma'on? Why Dafka Ma'on? Why give us simcha from Ma'on? Now we know already, every time we go to the benching at a wedding, right, we say, Shasimcha b'mono. That's in the Zimun we say Shasimcha b'mono. So somehow there's a link between Simcha and Ma'on. That's what the Kli Yakar is saying. Kama Shalom, we're Shasimcha b'mono. Misham tachzor v'tesmechin. So we're saying Hashem, from this place called Ma'on, there's Simcha there, and from the place of Simcha, bring down the Simcha back to us. Now his makor for this that he's bringing, and we'll develop it now, is from the Gemara in Chagiga. Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. So there's the Gemara there. Actually, I don't lose the place. The Gemara there is a fascinating Gemara in which Reish Lakish enumerates that there are seven Rikias. There are seven, so to speak, heavens. And he names them, the names of the heavens. They are Vilon, Rikia, Shechokim, Zuvul, Ma'on, Machon, and Aravois. Seven of these Rikias, B'Shomayim. And he goes through them and develops them and explains them. What all these rakias are. And on the place there, on Ma'on, Rashi explains there, that Ma'on is Lashon Mador. Makom Malachim Darin Bo. It's a place where the Malachim live, it's a place of dearest, it's a Lashon of living space, a Makom. But then, further on, the Gemara goes into detail about what is going on in Ma'on, what's actually happening in this place called Ma'on. So it's the Gemara, Ma'on Shebo Kisa Shem Malachi Ashares. What's happening there? That in Ma'on, that's the place where you have Kisoy Shel Malachi Hasharis, you have these groups of the Malachim, Malachi Hasharis are all in this place of Ma'on, and that is the place they sing from. That's the place where they're singing. First of all, we see, therefore, if Ma'an is a place of Simcha, that the intrinsic link between Simcha and Shira, at any time that, you know, we have a moment of Simcha, it's ra'ui to have Shira, to sing out and to be able to be joyful in our singing. So there's a place there of singing, where the Malach HaShar is to sing out to Hashem. However, what happens is that, according to the Gemara, that this is not just a place of Simcha, it's also a place of Chesed. A tremendous amount of Chesed. Why is that? Because it says that the Melachim, they sing during the night. That's the time when they sing. And then when they get up, they want to start singing during the day as well. They want to keep singing the whole time. But there, in Ma'on, in that place of Ma'on, the Bona Shalom tells the Melachim at that time, stop, don't sing. Don't want to sing during the day. I don't want to sing during the day. Rather, the day is the time for Am Yisrael to sing. They're going to sing right now. So I want you to do Chesed. The Lashon they use, I want you to Chesed to Klal Yisrael, to my people Klal Yisrael, and let them sing during the day. Then you can sing again at night. And he gives the quote from that. This is from Tehillim, Mem Beis. Yom HaMitzava Hashem Chazdoi, Ovelayla Shiroimi. So Hashem's saying, Yomam, during the day, he commands his Chesed, and at night the angels are able to sing. But during the day, Hashem commands his Chesed. He tells the Malachim, I want you to stop right now, I don't want you to sing. I want Klal Yisrael to sing, and let them do the singing. And it seems like the Melachim at that point are masking. They say, fine, they'll stop singing at that point. They'll stand aside, and they'll allow Klal Yisrael to do the singing. And at night again, they come in, and they sing again. And this seems to be, for trying to look in many different places, seems to be really the main makor to finding out what's going on in this place called Ma'on. It seems the most important thing that seems to be happening in Ma'on is that the Melachim are singing during the night, and during the day they're silent. They do Chesed. They listen to Rabbi Hashem, and they allow space for the other. They allow space for Klal Yisrael at that point to come in and to do Shira at that point. So this really is a really fascinating piece of Gemara. And on this, the Kli Yakar keeps on developing this theme and links it back to what we're saying at this place of Hashkifa Mamon Kodshecha. What's my Kesher of Hashkifa Mamon Kodshecha and this Gemara? Says the Kli Yakar. And they just read it inside if it's okay. So the Kli Yakar then quotes the Gemara, and he says the following. Rashi there in the Gemara in Hagiga says that Hashem commands the Melachim to be quiet, in order to do Chesed for those who need Chesed, i.e. Am Yisrael. Those are the ones here, us, Klal Yisrael, on this ground. We are the ones that need Chesed, and Hashem allows us the space to be able to sing to. It seems to me, said the Kli Yakar, that Hashem does this Chesed to allow Am Yisrael to do Chesed. Why? Why does He allow us to do that? Because Hashatach Toinim Osim Ze Im Ze, we do Chesed to each other. Since we show Chesed to each other, Hashem now says to the Melachim, now you do Chesed by Am Yisrael. You do Chesed to each other down there. I'll allow the Melachim to do Chesed too. Right? Why? V'hamaseh hu b'chal ha-chesed. The maseh is the intrinsic inyan of ha-chesed. Here, it's b'chal ha-chesed. Al kein amar b'skus ha-chesed sha-sisi b'maseh zeh. That's why a person says, because of the chesed that I've done down here, by giving the maseh, im ha-tzvichim chesed, the ones who need chesed, the ani, the ger, the lady, they need chesed, ha-shkifa min ma'on, la-sos chesed tzvichim chesed. Now I look down from ma'on, from this place of chesed. Look down from there to do chesed to us. Ki yoisam shomayim, sheshmo ma'on, miyuchad lezeh, or miyuchad lesimcha. Kli Yakar said, the place of ma'on is miyuchad, it's specifically for a place for chesed, and it's a place for simcha. Ki yoichom simcha, yesh shira, velo makom shein simcha. Okay, going back to the inyan of shira. But Kli Yakar seems to be very, very clear that ma'on is a makom of chesed. And there we can see very clearly that is... really, the link we're seeing here, that after someone brought the Maisa, and they're doing the video Maisa, they're looking, they're asking for the Hashkifa, they're asking Hashem to look down, it's dafka from this place of concern, a place of bitter, the Melachim are Me'utim Vachnasal, it's a place of humility, it's a place of Chesed. Now we see again, there's another record for Ma'on being a place of Chesed, we see in Tehillim, in Samaches, again, there's another link there between Ma'on and Inyan of Chesed, Hashem looking after the Yisroimim, right, and the Almanois. Radak says there, the Radak says in the pasuk, "Afapisha hu b'mo'on kodesho b'shamayim hu im hashefalim ba'aretz." Even though Hashem is up in Mo'on Kodesho, He's also with the shefalim here in the aretz. That He's looking after us down here as well. So this kind of all comes together in my mind that we see this could be the reason why we say that hashkifa normally is. This is the first question that I had. Hashkifa is normally a lashon of tzar, it's a lashon of negative things and of bad things. But what we see here is, and this is how the Kli Yakar finishes this piece. We see kol hashkifa l'ra'a chutz mimatanas aniyim. When you give the matanas, you give the gifts to the aniyim, hamapech roiges l'rachmanus. The gifts to the aniyim is the key. It's mamash the mapech to be able to turn roiges to Rachmanus. It turns Hashkifa, which is normally negative. Hashkifa looking at Sodom, Hashkifa looking at Tzara. It's not only something which is so bad and so negative. What can turn the Hashkifa to something Tzara, something Rata, something Toiv? Answer is this point here, Matanas Aniyim. Who b'schus midas ha-Rachmanus sheba'adam, shemapech midas ha-Chzarius shebol Rachmanus. The person turns any mid of Achzarius inside of them and turns it to Toiv. So to Hashem, turns the Roiges to Rachmanus. He turns it over. That is, in so many ways, the key, it seems, the inyan of what, how we can look towards getting a Kesiva and a Chasima Toiva, that there's going to have to be for each and every single one of them. There will be many cases of understanding, you know, in the judgment, and we'll have shkios, we'll have things we did wrong. But it seems to be very clear that if we can turn around and say, yes, but I looked after other people's, samachti v'simachti sachem, I looked after and made other people happy, this seems to be the schus that will, can get us through these days of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aser Simei Tshuva. Incidentally, interesting enough, we see, I saw Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, Zatzal, in the book they have on the Parsha, he brings down from the Ksav Sofer, fascinating enough, he says there that he brings this Kasha that we said about Hashkifa. Hashkifa is Lashon Tzar. And he asked the question, you know, Shtar, he says that, still, very nice, we could potentially give the answer we've been given here, that they're looking after each other is what turns the Roges to Rachmin. He says, but still, we could have just, why use the word Hashkifa? You could have used any word, you used Habita. It's still, Hashkifa has a negative connotation. Why go from the beginning with a word of negativity to change it? Just start with something positive. Start with Habita. So he says a very fascinating thing, the Saf Sofer, it's brought down by Yosem Chaim Zonnefeld, he says there that ultimately Hashkifa is bad, it's not a good thing. And therefore we see that even the wealth in this world, the what we're asking for Hashem to bless us with, all the riches and the wealth, it's not a good thing, it's not a positive thing. Wait, until I get to the punchline. It's not a positive thing. It is intrinsically not good, right? We want to be paid in Olam Haba. We don't want to be paid in this world. We don't want to have, you know, that's the ultimate, is the wealth we'll receive when we go to Shemayim, not in this world. So ultimately it's negative. Oh, says the Ksav Sofer. So you see, really, when someone takes their wealth, this is what we're asking for wealth, we're asking for riches. When you take that, but you give to other people, right, with Meiser, with Staka, with everything, when you give it to others, that Dafka is the only way that we can ask really for riches and for goodness. It's the only reason we can ask for it is so that we can go and give it to other people. Because otherwise there's nothing positive about it. It's only, it seems to be something negative. So when we're asking for the riches, asking for money, in order then to give, to look to give to other people, then Hashkifa, you can use the word Hashkifa. So this is, there's obviously lots of inyanim to develop this more, to think about this more. I heard a beautiful story from my good friend Rafael Schuster. Just I think that really brings this point out, demonstrates it. The story is that at some point, Rabbi Akiva Eger was sitting with his son, Rav Shlomo Eger, in Posen. They were sitting one snowy, cold night, sitting and learning together in the base midrash. Imagine, you know, the shutters clanging and the wind blowing and the fire stoking in the corner, and they're sitting and learning together on this cold, snowy night. Suddenly there's a knock at the door. So Rabbi Akiva Eger goes to answer the door and opens it, and there's an old lady comes in with her daughter, and they look distraught and terrified. And so they invite them in and ask, what's happened? What's going on? How can I help you? What's going on? To which the old lady starts to speak. She says that her son borrowed money from the pirates, and he's got himself into a lot of trouble. He's got himself into a tremendous amount of debt. And the Poritz has taken him, has arrested him, and they made it very, very clear that unless he gets all the money that he's owed, the Poritz said he will kill this lady's son on the next day. He will be killed. And this woman is crying, and she's screaming, and she's so distraught, she doesn't know what to do. She asks and begs that Rabbi Vega should help find the money. Of course, Rabbi Vega says, we'll try and see what we can do. We haven't got much time. We've only got one night to do this. We're going to try and see what we can do to save her son. So he and his son, Shomega, they take their coats, they go out into the freezing cold of Posen in the winter. They start walking and they're going through the streets and they pass the main part of town until they go out towards the edges of town to some of the parts which have got all the pubs there, where the people, the inns, the taverns, where people are drinking. And apparently there's one inn where the Yidden go, there's one inn where Jews tended to go, those who went for a drink, that weren't so interested in much else. They had a specific pub or an inn they would go to. And so they're all sitting there drinking. Suddenly the door opens, and you can imagine the surprise when Rabbi Akiva Eger walks into the pub. They're probably a little bit shocked. He walks in, and he turns around and says, gentlemen, says, we have a situation. I hope you don't mind me coming in this evening to talk to you. And he explained the whole situation to them. He says, we have the situation, this young lad is going to be killed tomorrow unless we raise the money to give to the Poritz. We need you to give to we need your help. I'm turning to you all now. Please help this poor lady, help this poor boy. We need the money now. At that point, all of the people that drink, all the Eden, their hearts are opened and they reach into their pockets and they all put some money on the table. Each and every single one of them puts money on the table. And at the end, they see, when it's all said and done, that the amount of money they've raised is exactly the amount that they needed to the penny, exactly the amount that they needed to rescue this boy. It's beautiful. So they're all so shocked and so surprised. And they say, wow, this is amazing. What an ace that you asked for this amount of money and we had just this exactly amount of money. This is incredible. Wow. That's brilliant. So Rabbi Akiva saw that they were so excited and so happy. So he went, he launched into them. And he said to them, gentlemen, he said, let me ask you a question. Do you not have anything better to do with your time? You're sitting here at night drinking, wasting your time. What are you doing with your lives? Coming here, you're not... think of all you could be doing to help yourselves, help your families, help the Jewish people. Instead, you're sitting in, battling the time, drinking, making fun, gambling, just doing... Come on! Make something of your life. So then they turn around and say, these people turn around and say, here we go. Oh, they said, you didn't say this when you're asking for the money. Now you've got the money. Now you're having a go at us. How can you do that? How dare you do such a thing? You know, you're launching an attack after you've got what you want from us. So Rabbi Akiva Eger turned to them and said, Rabbi Akiva said to them, you think I don't think about you? He said, I think about you all the time. I'm always thinking about you all. I'm always worried about you. I'm always davening for you. I know you all and I'm always davening for you. I'm always davening that maybe you'll come to Tshuva. So Rabbi Akiva Eger said, when I saw you all now, clubbing together, and putting the money in, and getting so excited to do chesed, getting so excited about helping Yenim, to helping another person, I saw there's a Pesach in your life. I saw there was an opening in your heart, somewhere, that now was the time to open up to the tshuva. And you saw how important it was to help the other person. It moved something inside of you. Rabbi Akiva said, now I saw was the time when I could ask you to examine your ways, to look what you're doing, and maybe to change. And they said, the story goes, that there were many lives that changed that night. A lot of lives changed because of that mice, because of the opening that Chesed did, the opening that Chesed made for these people in their lives. We see very clearly that this Hashkif Mon Kodshecha, what is it that can turn a Hashkifa Ra to Hashkifa Tova to something good? Looking after each other, caring for each other. And it seems at this time specifically, during Rosh Hashanah Kippur, there's a lot of interaction. It's time for lots of interaction with people. We're in shul together. There's lots of times when the Yetzirah pops up at these moments, you know, whether it's Mamash in Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. There's a guy with a cough who's just you're trying to concentrate on Shemona Esther, some guy coughing, or there's something blow windows open when you want it closed, and the songs are the Nigunim are the Nigunim you're used to, or the cousin and something happens. There's many opportunities this time of Rosh Hashanah Kippur to find ourselves judging others or to turn away from helping others. It seems to be the other Rabbah during these moments, during this time, it's the correct way to approach this time is the Rosh Hashanah is Elul Ish Lerei Umatanos Levyonim, looking to each other, looking to help each other, looking to give to each other, and looking to do chesed for each other seems to be the key, the ultimate key to open up the gates of Shemayim to a Shanat, which was full of bracha and atzlacha. I want to finish just with a very personal story that had a huge effect on me when it happened, and I haven't stopped thinking about it since. And I think this really, for me, just embodies this point that the Chiyaka was bringing down. I was lucky enough in Yerushalayim to study in the Kollel Rav Yitzhak Berkovitz Shlita, who some of you may be familiar with. And during my last year in Kollel, Rav Yitzhak Berkovitz is somebody, he should be well, healthy, he's somebody who does tremendous amount for the Jewish people, you know, day and night. He's answering shaylas, he has a Kollel there helping train young rabbanim to go out and then to kiruv and to work in chinuch. And he is, his Kollel in Yerushalayim is almost like a bastion. It's like a fortress sending people out to help Klal Yisrael. He's a tremendous bus. My last few months of being in Israel in his Kollel, we all noticed that he wasn't looking good. He wasn't looking so well. He started getting much thinner. He was looking very unhealthy. And we were all concerned. And, you know, rumors started flying. What's wrong with the Rebbe? What's wrong with the Rebbe? Is he okay? We weren't sure. It was very obvious that he wasn't doing well at all. So for a good couple of months, in my last few months of being Eretz Yisrael and his Kollel. Anyway, just before I left, there was a Sudas Preda, a friend of ours that went off to America. And that Sudas Preda, Rebbe got up to give a speech. Rebbe Berkovitz got up to speak to everyone. And he said, I know that you've all noticed that I'm not doing so well. So he said, I want to give you the press release, the statement, that everyone's talking about it. He said that he'd been having a lot of issues, and now's the time to go into that. He said he's had a lot of issues with various parts of his body, and he had to go to get a scan, to go in for the MRI scan. The MRI scan. He knew that obviously once the MRI scan happens and it becomes, you know, there is something there, it becomes obvious, it becomes known, and it becomes more of an issue. And he said he was sitting in the waiting room with his wife, about to go in to get this MRI scan. And he was very nervous. He was very, very nervous because the prognosis of the doctors, it wasn't looking good. And so he was super nervous. He was sitting there. And he decided to say, he told us the story. I was sitting in the room. He said he decided to do a cheshbon nefesh, to sit and think about everything he'd done in his life. And he sat and thought and went through every single nekuda. And at the end of everything, he turned around, he said, he didn't feel like he had any susim whatsoever. After he felt he'd done a true cheshbon nefesh, he felt that he had nothing. He didn't have any susim of his own, any ma'asim of his own, to really go up with and claim, you know, I've done this for Yosher. He said the one thing that he said he felt he had, he could turn around at this point in time, he was looking for rachamim, he said that he felt that he had tried to help the Jewish people by setting up his kollel and setting up, teaching people to go out and help the Jewish people. The one thing he felt he had was that he's tried to do chesed, to try and help the Jewish people in some way, to look after other people, to look after the Rosh Hashanah's children, is the one chesed that he felt that he had, the one claim that he felt he could make at this point in time as a tefillah before he went in. Now you have to understand, everyone in the corner was just flabbergasted, our chins dropped to the floor, because this is someone who we knew is full of ma'asim tovim, he's full of mitzvah, he doesn't stop learning Torah day and night. But yet he had an honest assessment and felt that he wasn't rowing. But the one thing he said he did fully have was this concern, this ultimate concern for the Jewish people, was the one thing that he felt that he'd go with and say, Hashem, please help me. That had it, and Baruch Hashem, the MRI was fine, and he's fine now, Baruch Hashem. He should continue to be very healthy and well. But that made an indelible mark on me, and it's something that I've always tried to live up to, the idea that if we can look after Hashem's children, if we do chesed l'tzarchi chesed, we see the ma'on, hashkif ma'on kodshecha, look down, gaze upon from ma'on kodshecha. Ma'on is a place of chesed, ma'on is a place of simcha. Hashem, we say, hashkif ma'on kodshecha, and that place where you tell the malachim to stop singing, so that the Israel can sing to you. In that place where you look for chesed, from that place, we in turn, Hashem, we will do chesed. We in turn understand the importance of chesed. We understand in turn that at that moment of Shkifa, Hashem looks down on us in the Yemei Elul, Yemei Rosh Hashanah, Yemei Hashem Shemay Chura, Yom Kippur. This time Hashem is Hashkim, he's looking down on us. If we can turn around and say, we look after Hashem, we look after your people. Ish Lereo, Matan Sevi, we look after your people, and Mr. Hashem, Hashem, you look after us. We should all be signed the Ksiva Chasima, Toba for all of us, Mr. Hashem.